From the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6, verse 17 and following, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of all of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Country preacher once was met with a dire dilemma in his call to the gospel ministry. A Scrooge in the community had died, and an even Scroogier brother of his asked the minister to preach the funeral. That was not that hard of a task, but the Scroogier brother asked him and gave him also a challenge. He said, "Preacher, if you'll preach my brother out to be a saint, I'll pay you $1,000 to preach this funeral." Well, as in most small towns, the secret didn't stay a secret long, and discussions began to be carried on all throughout the community, perhaps even a wager or two outside of the sanctuary of whether the preacher would actually preach this old Scrooge to be a saint. And the day of the funeral came, and the preacher stood up and he told of all of the negative qualities. He read this scripture that we just heard here today and heard and proclaimed how this man had abused his community for years, and he would now receive condemnation even when he couldn't buy people's love for him. And he told about all of his negative qualities and then finally said, "But I must end today by saying, compared to his brother, he was a saint." So we wrestle together. Those of us who have means, and we wonder today if Jesus is calling us those rich folk who've received our reward. You know, I think it's helpful for us to consider a couple of things about the first century world. One is that if we consider that we have plenty to eat and warm homes and plenty of resources, then in many people's eyes we would be seen as those who were in some ways rich. The poverty and the marginalized of the first century world was so rampant that there was very little, if any, middle class. You know, I think of when we go to certain regions of the country, maybe you've traveled to. I remember working in Tunica for the first time many years ago, and I'd always heard of the abject poverty in Tunica County. So I made the assumption that there were simply everybody consumed with poverty. That was not the case. There were some very wealthy people in Tunica and some very poverty-stricken people and very few within the middle. Such is the case often. And that's just a small picture of the disproportion that there was in the first century world. So for us to find a little encouragement, if we would all be considered as having some, perhaps in the eyes of those in the first century world, we all would be looked at in some ways as rich if we had plenty, a warm home, and our own resources. But if we dig deeper into the words of Luke as he wrote these words this morning about the rich, I think it's important for us to know that in Luke's understanding, as he proclaimed the message of Jesus in the gospel, the rich and the poor were not simply a separation of those who had and those who had not. It wasn't so much about what they had, but it was also how they got it and what they did with what they had. Let me say it this way. In Luke chapter 1, when Jesus is talking about the rich, he said, as he quoted Mary here, the mother of Jesus, she said, "He's done mighty deeds for me. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts, and he has toppled the mighty from their thrones." There's one example that Luke gives us. When Jesus uses the language of the rich, it's not simply those who have wealth, but it's those who are proud in their wealth, and they assume that their wealth is their own. They view themselves, in the words even of Mary here, as mighty and lofty and self-made. That's what Jesus is speaking of in some ways when he speaks of the rich in our text today. Also in Luke chapter 12, we hear this where it says that that's how it is for the one who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Luke also gives us an example of the negative component of abuse of wealth as only sharing it for ourselves, not being willing to live outside of ourselves for others. And then finally, one other example that I want to touch on that Luke gives us of the negative aspects of being rich in this text today. He says the familiar passage in Luke chapter 16, the story of Lazarus, who said there was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day, but a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who left at his gate, who longed to be filled with what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. So the final example Luke gives us of the negative description of the rich in this text today is one who only sees their own needs and not the needs of the world around him. So as we consider this passage of Scripture, may we be mindful that wealth is not sinful. It's what we do with the wealth that God has graced us with, or rather what we fail to do when we lose sight of living out our faith as those who love the world around us. And it seems in this passage of Scripture that Jesus is taking one of his first major bold steps of challenging the faith system of the world around him in this text. If we back up just a little bit, we hear where the discussions have begun in Luke just prior in chapter 4 when he went home to his homeland. And he said, "I know you're going to want me to do for you what has been done in other places, but I came for all the people." First of all, they were ready, in some translation it says, to throw him off a cliff that day. that he wasn't caring for them. But then later on, Jesus would begin the distinction with the Pharisees by healing on the Sabbath, by picking grain as they walked through the fields, by ministering and calling those to be disciples who, in the words of our scripture last week, described themselves as sinners. You see, in many ways, Jesus begins turning the faith system and the understanding of God's righteousness upside down for the world he came to minister to. There is a great reversal happening. The church had been consumed with understanding Deuteronomy chapter 28 in this way. You see, that was at the heart of this passage today, where in Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1, this is what Moses proclaimed to the people Israel. He said, "If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all of his commandments that I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And if you obey the Lord your God, blessed you shall be in the city, blessed shall you be in the field, in your workplace, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. You shall produce and have numerous offsprings. And blessed shall be the fruit of your ground. Your harvest shall be bountiful. And the fruit of your livestock will be numerous," Moses said, "both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock." Now let's get to the cusp of what Moses is saying there. You see, Moses was not speaking to individual believers or individual families. He was speaking to the entire nation, the people of Israel. "If you will walk in my ways, then you will forever be the blessed people who were called by me, the chosen race." And what had happened by the time Jesus came to minister in our world was the belief system had transitioned from hearing this passage as a message to the nation as a whole, and they started receiving it as an individualized promise. Here's what I mean. They said, "If I'm rich, if I'm blessed, then I must be righteous. And not only that, if I have means and you don't have means, if you're poor, then you must be unrighteous. If I'm healthy and I'm not plagued with any illnesses, God said I would be blessed. I must be righteous. If you're unhealthy, if you're demon-possessed, you must not be righteous. If you can't have children, if your offsprings are not numerous, then God must be condemning you." That was the belief system that had transitioned from the message that Moses proclaimed for the entire nation. It was into this system that Jesus came and said, "You've got it upside down. We're going to reverse your understanding, for this faith is for all people." Did you hear that in our scripture today, where it said Jesus came down from the mountain and met the people on a level place, as if to say he met them where they were? And in case we miss it, Luke says it twice. He says, all of the people from Jerusalem, from Judea, even the Gentiles, that's us type folk, right? Even those who were not part of the chosen race were there to hear Jesus. And it says this, I love these three letters, all received healing and God's grace. You see, Jesus came into this world to remind us that through him, God's grace is open to all. That God's kingdom and reign and children are all who trust in him. If we, even like the first century world, will bring our brokenness to Christ. Yes, our physical illness that they did in that day. But even more importantly, our spiritual brokenness. Our desire to have life, love, and joy forever through a Savior. Jesus Christ said, it's open for us all. You know, it was this bold statement by our Lord Jesus Christ, this first sermon on the plains, that challenged the reversal of the system in that way, that opened the doors in another journey. It was recorded by Luke not in this gospel, but later in the book that he titled The Acts of the Apostles. Some of us remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who traveled in that text to go to Jerusalem to worship. But the troubling thing about that text was in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it had been said that the eunuch, those sexless among us, should not come into the sanctuary of the believers. In fact, they would go on to say, Amos the prophet, that people of other nations should not be able to come into the holy sanctuary of the chosen people. And it was into that belief system, in the model of Jesus Christ as he preached today, that Philip had the compassion and the love to preach Christ crucified. And when the Ethiopian eunuch asked him, can I be a part of the church? Can I be baptized this day? They got down from the chariot and received the gift of life that very moment. Friends, this is the church we preach. This is the faith we practice. We embody the call of our Lord to live outside of ourselves, to be rich to the world around us, that we proclaim the love of our Lord, that all the world may know that God's grace is big enough. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace for us as believers is endless. May we, even today, in our brokenness, if we've never embraced the life-giving love of our Lord right where we are, cry out in the spirit of the Ethiopian eunuch, can I be a part of the church and hear the acceptance of our Lord Jesus who said, yes, for all are welcome into the new kingdom of my Lord's love. Let's pray. God, we are grateful that Jesus Christ came to this earth to break down the barriers that separated us as a people, as a faith. Even as the prophet Isaiah looked in Isaiah 56 and said, there'll be a day when people from all nations will gather in your name, and that on the mountain of the Lord, all people will go seeking and finding restoration. As we bow this day, God, if there are any who've never embraced life in you, may you make yourself known to them in a special way today, that simply by placing our trust in you right where we are this very moment, we can claim the gift of life and love and joy forever. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are and your loving grace for us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.